Okay, thank you. It's good to be with you again. This is the second of four mini-series this month, and as Ken mentioned, the title is that we can fully trust the fragrance of peace, the sensing of peace as our very nature. And if it is peace we want to discover, or if it is actually our true nature that we want to discover, our true nature that feels natural to us as the sense of well-being, peace, then peace is not only the end or what's discovered, but peace is actually the means. The means and the end are one, because peace, our true nature, is always known now. Now, in this moment, so to speak. Because there isn't a now and a then. So there isn't a means and an end that's separate. They are one. Peace is the way to the discovery of peace. So, in this moment, if we are resisting life, if we are grabbing hold of thoughts or feelings or trying to push them away, then in this moment, we're not being very peaceful. We're not open to our experience. We're trying to control and manipulate it. So when we are trying to control our experience through identifying with thoughts, which is grabbing hold of thoughts, not allowing them to just move freely through our experience, then that is a resistance to those thoughts flowing freely. We're not being very peaceful in that moment, So then peace, our natural state, is veiled. So if we want to discover our natural state, we have to now allow everything to flow without identifying with it. Sometimes there's the pointer, be open. Actually, the previous speaker, I just caught the tail end of what she was sharing, but she mentioned openness several times. And openness is a wonderful pointer. And at first, initially, it may seem like we're being open or we're practicing openness, and that's fine. But gradually, we realize that no, it's not that I'm practicing openness. I am openness itself. We come to that understanding gradually, often, that our very nature is openness itself. Our very nature is peace, harmony, stillness. So, if this is what we want to discover, then we have to now be that openness. We have to now allow everything to just move in its natural state. Because the essence of who we are is not exclusive to one point of view. It's not limited. So when when we identify with thought, we are being exclusive in a certain way to one point of view. So immediately When we take on that exclusivity, that identification, then our universality is veiled in that moment. We can't sense our well-being, our natural state. But immediately, when we're open to what is now in our experience, and we're not identifying with what's coming and going, those thoughts and feelings, we're just being at peace, so to speak, then our natural state, that peace that is our very essence, is revealed. One aspect of openness or acceptance, accepting what is, being open to what is. There's one aspect of it that, or sometimes when we hear that teaching, sometimes there's a misunderstanding of what it actually means to be open to what is or accept what is. It's not accept or be open to what we believe is. So let's say that we experience some negativity or stress, fear, anxiety. And we've heard the teaching, well, be open to what is, accept what is. So then we take that teaching to believe that we need to accept our fear, accept our negativity. But if we're accepting those so-called negative emotions, at the same time believing them to be personal to who we are, which is to say that we believe that they are affecting our sense of self. Somehow, when we feel the fear and the negativity, we feel bad about ourselves. We feel diminished in some way. And then we accept those emotions without seeing them clearly. That's not true acceptance. We're accepting those emotions as we believe them to be, not as they actually are, as free-flowing energy, impersonal sensations in the body. So if we see the fear or the negativity as just simple sensations, not personal, that's true acceptance. We're accepting them as they actually are. When we accept so-called fear or negativity, we don't even have to call it that. It's just energy moving through the body. It's not personal to who we are. But the moment anything that passes through and affects our sense of self, that's an indication that we've identified with something and that we're now in resistance. There's some thought or feeling that we've attached to and identified with. So if we accept that identification without seeing it clearly, then that is likely to come up again and again, because it's as if everything wants to just be in its natural state, even thoughts and feelings. And when we identify with them, then it's like they're not in their natural state. They're not free flowing. It's like we've frozen them in time, and they kind of lodge themselves in our being. We believe them to be who we are. So then we feel them to be true, and then we express them in our lives. So our movements, our reactions are then linked to those beliefs those conditioned beliefs that are not natural to us. So, but when we're open, everything is just flowing in its natural state. And there's a completely different feel to life now. Nothing is taken personally. Our sense of self is not diminished in any way if fear comes up, if some stress passes through. It's okay. It's just a wave that we're not taking personally. It's not like if we identify with thoughts or feelings, we don't need to judge ourselves for that at all. It's a wonderful thing when we see it, when we see that, oh, I've identified with a thought or feeling. This is why I'm feeling this fear and negativity. It's an opportunity to see through what we have temporarily taken ourselves to be. If we didn't see it, then we just continue on with the identification. So it's progress when we see that this is what we're doing. And gradually we see, oh, I have a choice here. I have a choice. It becomes very clear in each moment that we have a choice to identify with what's moving through our experience or just allowing it to be. So in this moment, as in every moment, when we're being peaceful, so to speak, with what's moving through, then peace reveals itself to us. When we're in resistance or trying to push our thoughts away or grabbing hold of our thoughts, identifying with them, then that's a non-peaceful activity, so to speak. So then peace, our nature, remains hidden. In the book, Talks with Ramana Maharshi, there's one account that really stood out to me when I read that book. A woman asked him, "What is self-realization?" And he responded with a brief story about a woman who lost her necklace. So she went around to many people asking, "Have you seen my necklace?" And until she came to one kind friend and asked, "Have you seen my necklace?" And this kind friend responded, "Sense the necklace around your own neck." And what Ramana Maharshi is pointing to in this story is that the kind friend didn't tell the woman, "Oh, you're being silly, the necklace is around your neck." Because if the friend had said that, then the woman would have had to believe her friend, to take her friend at her word. The necklace is around your neck. But no, the kind friend said, she didn't say the necklace is around your neck. She said, "Sense the necklace around your own neck." So Ramana is pointing out that it is in our very experience, in our direct experience, to sense the truth of who we are. that belief is not required. Belief actually gets in the way. Belief is identification with thought, believing something somebody said or what we've heard or read is not needed and actually gets in the way of directly sensing life. When we think of love, peace, well-being, or joy, we don't believe that love is a thought, or I need to believe anything to know my well-being. If somebody said, "Well, I believe I'm in love," then we would hold that love in suspect. We wouldn't, if when we believe we're in love, we're not really in love. We know we're in love. Belief isn't required to know love. To know our well-being, we don't need to believe anything. But often with truth, when we then contemplate truth, for some reason it then goes to thought often. Oh, I need to believe what is true. But that's not the case at all. Belief gets in the way of knowing, sensing truth, the truth of our being. It's openness to what is now that allows this knowing of the truth of our being. And one thing too, that brief story that Ramana shared about the woman who lost her necklace and was told by a kind friend, sense the necklace around your own neck. And this was in response to the question, what is self-realization? So, what is self-realization? The pointer Ramana is sharing is sense what is in your own experience now. Not believe, sense. And this sensing of what is in our experience now is a conscious sensing. We know what it is that we're sensing. Often, well, actually, everybody has had glimpses of peace and well-being. Everybody, regardless of where we're born, what our belief systems are, we've all had glimpses of peace. But often we aren't conscious of what that peace is. We believe it to be coming from outside of us. We believe it to be as a result of some activity, like walking in nature, having a good meal, falling in love, looking at the night sky. But actually, when we look at the night sky and we sense peace, in that moment, we're not in resistance to anything. We're just fully open. We're not believing anything. We're not identifying with thought. We're just fully, completely open in that moment. And we're actually sensing our very nature. But often we don't realize that. So then we, when we, when a thought comes in, let's say we're still there, we're still looking at the night sky, but a thought comes in. Why did my boss say that? My boss is very insensitive. And then we believe that thought. Immediately, we no longer sense peace. The peace is veiled because we're now not being peaceful, so to speak, as I mentioned earlier, that we're now resisting life. We're grabbing hold of a thought. Identification with thought immediately veils the openness that we are. So this sensing of who we are is a conscious sensing. This awakening is a conscious sensing of who we actually are. We know what it is we're sensing. We're sensing our very nature. But also, when we're open to this sensing, we have to drop all expectation about what we think it should feel like, or what we anticipate might happen, or any kind of expectation. Because even the woman who lost her necklace and then was told by the kind friend, sense the necklace around your own neck. If that woman had had any expectation at all about how that necklace should feel, she could very well miss, overlook what is right now on around her neck. So if she had the expectation, oh, well, when I sense my necklace, it's going to feel wonderful. It's going to feel like I'm floating on air. She would actually miss what is in her own experience now. So we must drop all expectations about how we think our natural state will feel, or what is here now, because what is here now may initially seem very, very subtle, a quiet sense of stillness. But when we trust that, when we really trust it, it reveals itself to us more and more. This stillness, this peace, is a sensing of our very wholeness, that we are without lack. That lack is not real. And it's truly only as we get a sense of this wholeness that we can then live with others in peace. Because as long as we feel as if we're lacking, we feel that others will complete us. So that belief does not allow us to live with those we believe need to complete us. It doesn't allow us to live with them in peace. Because when we feel that we're lacking, We feel as if other people are the problem and the solution. They need to change in order for us to feel okay about ourselves. So they're the problem and they're also the solution. And so that dynamic of feeling incomplete, that conditioned sense of self, which always feels as if it's lacking something, does not allow us to just allow people to be, to live in peace. It's only as we come to know our peace, our natural state, that we can then allow others to live in peace. The belief that I'll finally feel at peace when that person changes or that situation changes. Logically, it just doesn't make sense. When we really see that, we see how crazy that belief really is. Because it's just not logical to believe that other people need to change or to be at peace or to be more conscious or to be anything, and then I'll be at peace. When we see through that belief, then we become more open to really looking and seeing how we ourselves are creating that sense of dis-ease and that sense of lack within us through identifying with thoughts. It's not as if the lack or the incompleteness is real in any way whatsoever. But the feeling of it feels real when we identify with thought. So this is awakening, awakening to more of our freedom. Awakening to our freedom has really two aspects to it. The freedom from identification with thoughts, the freedom from believing we are what we're not, then allows us to more freely express ourselves in real love and peace with others. Because we know we're not lacking, because we know our wholeness, then we're able to live with others in a completely different way. We don't need them to change. We don't need them to be a certain way for us to know our well-being. It's a completely different way of being in this world. So this is why the awakening is so very significant to world peace. Because as more of us awaken to our natural state, the way we live here on this earth will change. Or is changing and will continue to change. It begins with each of us, how we live within ourselves and with others. there's a short passage from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj that I'd like to read because it goes with what I've just shared. And it's from his book, I Am That. He says, "It is all very simple. Instead of seeing things imagined, learn to see them as they are. When you can see everything as it is, you will also see yourself as you are. It is like cleansing a mirror, the same mirror that shows you the world as it is, will also show you your own face." I love that pointing because he's including the world. He's including what comes and goes. He's pointing to it all as an opportunity for us to see more clearly. And so everything that comes and goes in our experience, whatever it is an opportunity for us to be open to it as it actually is. Not believing it to be personal, not believing thoughts or feelings to be personal, to be the truth of who we are, but just as what comes and goes. And as we relax and stabilize more in our true sense of self, then we begin to see thoughts and feelings very differently. We begin to see them as wonderful tools for pointing, for expressing ourselves, for creating, but we're no longer taking them personally, which is to say, we know they're not the truth of who we are. They no longer affect our sense of self. So then any thought can come. Thoughts that previously would throw us, so to speak, into a state of depression. It's not really that the thought has ever really thrown us into a state of depression. It's not the thought itself, but it's our identification with thought that then creates the sense of disconnect, the veiling effect, the feeling of lack, of incompleteness. And thankfully, that happens because it's like life wants to know itself. Life wants to know itself so that it can express itself freely without limits. So when we identify with thought and we're being exclusive, we're taking on these limitations that are not natural to us, thankfully, that doesn't feel good. So it's as if life is pointing the finger out or pointing the finger in, go deeper or look differently. Look past that identification, those limits that you're taking on in this moment that don't feel natural to you. So again, when we feel that identification that doesn't feel good, we don't need to judge it. We truly don't. It's good to see it. It's like life giving us a gift, we're now aware that we've identified with something that we're not. So we have the opportunity to look through it and to sense our universality, our true limitlessness. There's a line in the Course in Miracles that says, "Your peace lies in its limitlessness. Your peace lies in its peace's limitlessness." So if we believe that peace has limits to it, or that it's conditional, then it's veiled. It's only when we're aware or when we're sensing its limitlessness, when we're open to life as it is now, that we sense peace. So, if we're sensing peace, and then let's say we get a phone call and something has happened, let's say we lost money in the stock market, and then our peace is then veiled. So what we've taken on is that our peace then in that moment seems to have limits. So when it relates to finances, it seems to have conditions to it. It only goes so far. So finances, then, let's say that aspect of daily life, for one person it may be finances, for another it may be relationships or health. We all have aspects of daily life. We could say that we've been conditioned to feel fearful in, unsafe. So it's as if peace may permeate, let's say, the area of health for one person, but not finances. And so life then will bring opportunities, challenges in the areas that we've been conditioned to fear in order for us to move through them, to see through them, to see that our sense of self is not dependent on finances or health or whatever area of life that we've been conditioned to feel as if it is dependent on. Because if we believe that peace is limited, that it only permeates certain areas of daily life, then our peace is not full. We're still believing it to be conditional. This isn't to judge, if we have these areas within our lives that these challenges come up and identification happens, but again, to just see it as an opportunity. Life wants us to truly enjoy the whole of life. which means all aspects of life, even those areas of life that we've been conditioned to fear. So these challenges that come up in these areas of life we've been conditioned to fear are opportunities to more fully know our freedom, to more fully know that there is nothing lacking, that our sense of self isn't dependent on anything that happens out there, so to speak. So we come to sense in a very direct way that life is not separate from who we are. That this peace and wholeness and openness includes the totality. It doesn't have limits. Because if we still fear life in certain areas, then it's not only that we can't live with ourselves in peace, but we can't live with others in peace. Because fear just simply doesn't allow us to live in peace with others. We'll always try to control and manipulate others as long as we're fearing life, even in just a few areas. So I'd like to see if there are any questions, comments, or anything you'd like to share from your own experience. This conditioned sense of self, this false sense of self that we take ourselves to be when we identify with thought, it always feels as if it's lacking and incomplete. But generally, we could look at it as taking on two general types, either we come to feel as if we're inferior, or we come to feel as if we're superior. But both of these general conditioned sense of self, they feel separate. Even if we take on a superior sense of self, we feel as if we're separate in our specialness. So the awakened, the natural sense of self, we don't feel inferior, we don't feel superior. There's no sense of separateness. We know we're not separate. We know this peace that we are, this wholeness, is the essence of everyone. But even though that false sense of self takes on generally either the inferior or the superior sense of self, we come to believe that there are certain things that we need in order to complete us. So let's say one person may feel they need a loving relationship to complete them. Another person may feel, well, they need a stable job and a good home. Another person may feel they need good health. So at the surface of the separate sense of self, that conditioned false sense of self, at the surface, every one looks very different. But when we look at it from a deeper level, we see, oh, everybody just feels this sense of lack. One person thinks they need that, another person thinks they need this, and on it goes. And also, we change what we believe we need. But typically, we take on a certain pattern of conditioning, which plays out until we see through it. So at some point, it can be very helpful to see these patterns within ourselves, these patterns of conditioning that keep us believing that sense of lack. Because conditioning, this false sense of self, keeps us locked into certain types of behavior, certain types of limits that are not natural to us. So we continually play out the same patterns again and again. We want to get out of them. We want to stop behaving in certain ways, the ways that we've seen modeled in childhood, the ways that we've come to believe are the ways to problem solve, even though they're not working and they tend to create more problems. But until we see through that conditioning, it plays out again and again. But the seeing through it, the seeing through that conditioning is always now. And it's a very simple opening and sensing of our natural state of stillness and peace. And when we trust this peace, then we more easily can identify when that conditioned false sense of lack shows itself. But we need to trust that sense of peace enough to then see when we feel as if it's gone. We need to trust the sense of peace enough to find out in that moment whether it is gone or it's just veiled and it is ever present. The opportunity is always now to be free. So it's not that we need to wait for a big awakening experience that belief is a trap that will keep seekers seeking for decades. If we truly want to know the truth of our being, we have to trust now, the sensing of now, the sensing of life directly. I hope everybody's feeling comfortable in this silence. It's wonderful to be here with you in silence and in the sharing. What a wonderful thing it is to be with others in silence. To just really look in somebody's eyes in complete silence without the need to say anything. We often do that with pets and with infants. We just look into their eyes and we don't feel the need often to say anything. And there's such enjoyment in that. But often when we look in other people's eyes, in adults' eyes, we feel as if we have to speak all the time or there's that conditioning that we need to say something to impress or to just be a certain way. We want to be liked. But to just drop all that for a moment and to just be with others and just look. And then see what comes. If words come, wonderful. Then we speak from our heart. But if they don't come, that's wonderful too. as we end our time together, I just wanted to mention that if anybody listening within the chat room or outside the chat room, if there's anybody, and if you have any questions or comments and you'd like to email me directly, my email is DeannaStanley@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, for allowing me this opportunity to share. And I'll be back next week. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to hand over the mic.